Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today is Randy Weston, one of the world's great visionary pianists and composers. His stories, travels, and incomparable melodies make him the perfect guest. It's exciting to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Where have you been? All over the world?
Yeah, let's see. I did a lot of traveling end of last year. I was in places like Argentina and Kyoto, Japan, and Austria, and Hungary, and France, and Spain, Italy, you know. So I've been traveling quite a bit, yes.
Boy, so you're never home.
You mean being in New York? No, I'm spending more time in New York, actually, now than before, you know.
I'm assuming that New York is home, but maybe it isn't.
Oh, Brooklyn is always home.
Oh, that's right. But you haven't the slightest hint of a Brooklyn accent.
Brooklyn has many, many different accents.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Because it's such an incredible mixture of people from many cultures, you know.
Certain people have very cultured voices, and yours is one of them. Duke Ellington is another.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Mr. Ellington.
I mean, he's almost as good as the Queen.
That's our royalty.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. I hear that music, I get so excited. I found some 1928 Duke doing some stride piano, you know. It just shook me up, you know, when I said, wow, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure. Well, what are you going to play for us?
Yeah, it's a composition that I've written for a man that really influenced my life in music. Thelonious Monk, you know.
Oh, yes. He's one of your favorites.
Exactly. And it happened because of my love for Coleman Hawkins.
So how did Coleman Hawkins lead you to Thelonious Monk?
Well, I was in the Army at that time, and I was on furlough. And Coleman Hawkins was playing on 52nd Street. So whenever Hawk came to town, I wanted to catch him, you know. So I went to 52nd Street. I don't know whether it was the Three Deuces. I forgot the name of the club. And I went into the club. And here's Coleman Hawkins, you know, and he had Thelonious Monk playing piano. Now, when I first heard Monk playing piano, he didn't play very much. I said, that guy can't play no piano. You know, what's Coleman Hawkins doing with him? But I went back again, you know.
Well, Coleman Hawkins had pretty much the definitive version of Body and Soul.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a good place to learn it.
Oh, my goodness. What a classic, you know. And the first time I heard Ruby My Dear was Coleman Hawkins playing it with Thelonious Monk. It just blew my mind. But through Coleman, I discovered Hank Jones, I discovered Sir Charles Thompson, and I heard Monk for the first time with Coleman Hawkins, you know. You know, during that time growing up in New York, you could imagine all the giants came to New York, you know. And plus, with no television, no disco, so everything was live, you know. And musicians were very important in the community. Yeah, whether it was the Black Church or the Calypso dances or the blues or jazz, music was so important. And there were so many incredible artists that would come to New York.
Music is so important, more so, I would say. Speaking of which, how about you playing a tune? What would it be?
It's called A Ballad for Tea. Tea is short for Thelonious.
Oh, of course.
Thank you.
I love the way you intermingle the two tunes and a little touch of Monk and a little touch of Body and Soul. It's marvelous. Really loved that.
Thank you. Thank you.
But Monk, out of all those people, he was your favorite. Why?
You know, music is magic. Sometimes you don't know why you get, why something moves you, why something reaches you. But my mind goes back to Brooklyn, being with Ahmad Abdul-Malik, the bassist.
Yes, I knew him.
We grew up together.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We grew up together.
I did get to play with him once or twice.
Yeah, he was special, but he also played the oud. His people are from the Sudan. So he used to take me downtown Brooklyn to
a
North African section.
Wait a minute, stop a second. Oud, what is that?
Yeah, that's the North Middle Eastern instrument, you know. It's hard to describe the shape. It has a beautiful, beautiful sound, the oud, you know. And he played this instrument, and he was bringing the North African Arab music into jazz music. So he would take me downtown to hear the traditional music of North Africa. So when I heard this music, you know, they were playing notes in between the notes, you know, like we couldn't get on the piano, you know.
Oh.
And so Malik would play this on the bass. And the two of us were trying to find something different to play. And we got thrown out of a lot of local bands in Brooklyn. They would put us out of the bands. So when I heard Thelonious Monk, I heard that sound, that magic in the piano, which I had heard at Ellington earlier. So it's just something that's it's so earthy, it's so magic. I can't explain it, but that sound he got, and his clusters, and his way of swinging.
Yeah.
You know, he would do stride and make stride sound like 25th century music.
I loved it. I can picture Monk in the kitchen with the piano doing his thing, and Nellie would be somewhere nearby.
Right, right. I went to his house before we got the piano in the kitchen. He had a small upright. When I first went to his house, because after hearing him, I finally went to him. I said, Mr. Monk, could I come by and visit you? I want to find out. I want to hear this guy. Where you get this sound on the piano, you know? And so he had a small upright then. And I went to his home, and he had a picture of Billie Holiday in the middle of the ceiling. And it was very quiet, and a red light, you know. And I asked him every question you could think of. No response. He just answered nothing.
No, he didn't even say anything?
He said, listen to all kinds of music. And I sat there for hours, just sitting there. And he had the radio playing very low. So finally I got the courage to say, Mr. Monk, thanks for inviting me to your home. And I left, couldn't figure out what happened. I went back a month later, he played the piano for me. And at that point, it was just instant love, you know.
I guess he had to figure you out.
Exactly. He was checking me out.
Tried you out with all his different things to see where you would go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you tried again. You came back in a month and everything was well.
It was beautiful, you know. Then it made me understand Coleman Hawkins better. You know, what a great musician he was. Go all the way from Fletcher Henderson all the way to Thelonious Monk and Dizzy, you know. And it showed a whole connection to this music. Because I was a big fan of this music before I ever thought I was going to be a professional musician.
How old were you then?
When?
Roughly.
You mean during the time when I went
to
52nd Street?
Monk?
Oh, late teens, early 20s, actually.
Right. It was a good time.
Yeah, wonderful time.
Well, I've got to hear you play another tune. I can't stand it if I don't hear another tune.
Okay, Mary.
What's this one going to be?
This piece is called African Lady, and it's part of a suite that I did in 1960 with Melba Liston. And the suite was in four movements. First was called Uhuru Kwanzaa, which in Kiswahili means freedom first, because the African nations were just getting their independence at that time, you know. So it was like a salute to the new nations of Africa. Then African Lady, written for our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, little girls, you know. And the third movement was called Bantu. The fourth movement was called Kucheza Blues. which in Kiswahili means when Africa gets its freedom, we're going to have a big party all over the planet. Everybody's going to party, right? So I went to Langston Hughes and asked Langston, would he write the lyrics for me of the freedom poem, which was called Freedom Africa, and the second piece called African Lady. And Langston wrote some beautiful, beautiful lyrics, you know. So that's the piece I want to play for you.
I'm ready.
Thank you.
She was some tempestuous lady.
Oh, yes.
Was it written for somebody you knew?
No, symbolic of my mother, my sister, my daughters, just these wonderful African women that took care of us during a time when things were very difficult for us, you know.
It showed all those things in that piece.
Yeah, and Melba did this incredible arrangement. She had a big orchestra.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We had Martha Flowers, she sang the soprano part. Brock Peters, he sang the baritone part. And the orchestra was incredible. I mean, Clark Terry, Freddie Hubbard, Richard Williams.
Wow.
You know, and on and on. I could name everybody in the orchestra, and Melba conducted the orchestra. And the colors she created for this piece was so beautiful.
A few people may be wondering, who is Melba? Melba Liston, a great trombone player.
Yes.
And arranger.
Exactly.
People in the orchestra kind of found Melba a little tough, did they?
Yeah, well, you can imagine. I had the experience of being with her and Mary Lou Williams.
Oh, my
so
God.
So with those two, I was getting a piano lesson every day, music lesson every day. But those two ladies, wow.
And they were fronting the band. And wow. That must have been an experience.
Yes, wonderful. And, you know, and Melba had that unique quality. She was so original that she would change the arrangement at the last minute. You know, we get to the studio and she would change the parts, you know. Say, no, I want to try this instead of this, you know. And suddenly musicians, that's not going to sound right, but when you hear it, it's perfect. I first heard her with Dizzy Gillespie at Birdland in the late, early 50s, I think it was, and she did an arrangement of My Reverie. And she was featured on trombone. It was so beautiful.
I used to run across the street from the Hickory House to hear whoever was at Birdland. And I heard that band at one time with Melba. It was quite an experience.
Yes.
to be near another club so that I could go over there in my intermission. And I would go and hear Duke, too.
And we come to hear you. And Billy Taylor. I remember the Hickory House very, very well. And Earl Garner was in New York around that time, too, you know.
I remember when Billy was a house pianist at Birdland.
Absolutely. It was so beautiful because I'd go downtown and hang out with Willie the Lion Smith. I'd go down to Nick's and hear him. Then U.B. Blake was in Brooklyn. I'd go to his house, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we were very fortunate because we hung out with all these giants. Yeah. And tell us all these stories about this music.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here with my guest, Randy Weston. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I read somewhere about you writing a book.
Yes, it's been a collaboration with Willa Jenkins. It's my autobiography. It's called African Rhythms. And it's going to come out on Duke University Press. And it's a story of my life, but the story of music, really. What a spirit, where music has taken me, and the people that I've met through music, and so much music has given me, you know.
It's taken you everywhere.
Yes, it has.
I mean, you've traveled so much. Morocco, for instance. Why Morocco?
I want to live in Africa because I want to be close to the tradition of music. I heard some music in the States, some recordings of Congolese traditional music, Senegalese traditional music. Music of Morocco, of different parts of Africa, you know? And I heard this music, and I fell in love with this music. So I said, I want to live there and travel and listen to the traditional music of Africa. So I did a State Department tour in 1967. I had not decided what country. I had been in Nigeria in 1961 and 1963, but they were having a war during that time, so I couldn't go to Nigeria. And at the end of the tour, Morocco was the last country. I still had not decided. Went back to New York. 1 month later, I got a letter saying the people of Morocco are crazy about your music. They want you to come back. I went back and I stayed 7 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you worked there?
And I traveled. I went up to the mountains and listened to the Berber music, went down the Sahara, I heard music of the Ganawa people, all the traditional people. And I was amazed because I hear the essence of what we do, you know. What was Africa's contribution to the world in music, you know? And when you hear this traditional music, we say, wow, very powerful.
And you came back and wrote things.
Yes, yes, I did, yeah, yeah. And I also had my own club in Tangier.
Oh, fantastic.
It was called the African Rhythms Club. And in that club, we had everything from a blues band from Chicago to Congolese singers singing Lingala from the Congo.
And did you play in it?
Yeah, my son and I. He was a percussionist. He was so great. And the two of us, here we are, you know, in Tangier.
Was that Niles?
Yes, yes. Yes, we were together. And it was quite an experience.
I would say. Well, so far, you've done so many exciting things. I don't know where to take you from here. Is there any music inspired by the Tanja?
Absolutely. You know, Tangier is an incredible city. I spent time with Paul Bowles in Tangier.
Really?
Yeah, all the heavyweights were there from all over the world, you know. And I was there, and I had a wonderful house overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. And you could see Spain, you know, on the other side, a clear day. And you would see the sun rise, you know. So it had a particular spirit. I wrote a song about my vision of Tangier when I was there. I called it Tanja, and Tanja is Arabic for Tangier.
I'd love to hear it.
Thank you, dear.
Tangiers was a busy place.
Busy place. You know, all the spices and merchants. And you see people with donkeys and horses and fresh fruit because of the fruit and vegetables. Incredible in this country, you know. I mean, really fresh and beautiful taste, you know. So you go down into the Medina and you walk around and you got this vibrant energy, you know.
Wow. That's exciting. Well, how about we have a little change of pace and I'll play one for you. Could you go for that?
Of course I'd go for that.
Well, hearing you talk about Duke made me think I'd play Prelude to a Kiss.
Wonderful.
So here goes.
It was beautiful.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Ellington, and your interpretation of the Prelude. Beautiful music.
Thank you. Well, there's more to come with Randy Weston. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. What's next?
Well, did Berkshire Days. You remember the music in?
Yes.
And I first went up there as a breakfast cook and also as a dishwasher.
You were?
Yeah. And I happened to have been next to the music in at another resort and two ladies who I worked with. So we had some jazz at the Music Inn. We walked about 2 miles, a little forest. I walked in, and there's Marshall Stearns playing Benny Goodman's King Porter Stomp and Fletcher Henderson's King Porter Stomp. And I asked the people, do they hear the difference? And that was the beginning. And, you know, I spent almost 10 years in the Berkshires meeting everybody. Billy Taylor, Mary McPartland, Mahalia Jackson, Duke Ellington, you name it. And the Berkshires is in the city of Lenox in Massachusetts, you know.
A lovely spot.
Oh, my God, what a lovely, lovely place, you know. And Stephanie and Phil Barber and Marshall Stearns, they created this incredible way of inviting artists to all come together. Blues, jazz, Cuban music, Nigeria. And it was magic, the Berkshires. Yeah,
I'm sure.
The Berkshires were so inspirational for me, Marion. And so in October, everybody left. And this incredible, beautiful area was quiet, you know. So I wrote my first waltz for my daughter called Pam's Waltz at the Music Inn. And Little Niles was for my son. I wrote that for him.
One of my favorites. Would you play that for me?
I'd be honored. I'll play Little Niles for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll bet every time you play that tune, it comes out different. When you did it on the tape we made years ago, it was so different. But of course, you're different.
Aren't we?
Aren't we? Yeah.
But and we're the same.
It'll be different again. What I love about jazz, you can change anything.
Yeah.
And still go back to the same thing you did before.
Exactly. You know, when I tell the people about this music, I say, if you understand, this music is totally in touch with Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is always improvising, you know. It's cold, it's hot, the snow, the rain. That's our music is in tune with the universe, you know.
That's true.
It's really, really true, you know.
I was thinking of what you told me. You didn't really want to play piano. Your father made you. That's amazing, because usually when the parent makes the child do something, it doesn't take, you get mad, but you didn't get mad. You just went on, and that's what made you great, was your father really nagging you to play.
Well, it was a little bit more involved in that.
Was it?
Yeah. See, my piano teacher, I'll never forget this poor lady, what she had to go through. Mrs. Chapman, those dignified ladies of that period, you know, in the 30s, you know, very dignified, very classic. 75 cents or 50 cents a lesson for a piano lesson, you know. Hit your hand with the rulers when you make a mistake.
Oh.
I was with this lady for 3 years. And finally, she went to my father and said, Mr. Weston, save your money. Your son will never play the piano. It's a true story, you know.
That's amazing.
But my father got another teacher. And this guy, Professor Atwell, he knew a popular song. Because what happened in the neighborhood, we would listen to the best music all the time. Basie, Billie Holiday, Lil Green, you know, you name it, you know. So that's the kind of music I was loved so much, you know. But I got this teacher, and that's how it really started. But thank God my father was persistent.
Well, I'm glad that he was. God bless him.
Thank you.
So, I mean, he made a total genius out of you. Nobody does what you do, which is great.
You know, Marion, you know, we grew up with all the storytellers in music, you know. And when you grow up and listen to Erskine Hawkins and a Count Basie and a Andy Kirk and a Jimmy Lunsford, you hear all this beauty. You say, wow, you know, how they do that, you know. So I had that background, plus Mama, Black church, had been at church every Sunday. You better be there. So here I'm 3, 4, 5 years old in the church, listening to the Gospels and the spirituals. So I had such a rich heritage of music.
You sure did.
Yeah.
And look at you now. You're still playing better than ever.
I'm trying.
Better ideas, better everything.
Just trying hard. You know, music, you know, you had to be very humble with the music. You know, I've been listening lately to a lot of Dizzy in the 40s. I was listening to Louis Jordan. I got five CDs of Louis Jordan, you know.
Really?
And I played this for my wife because she had never heard Louis Jordan before.
What did she think?
And she was so happy. You know, you hear this music, you have to be happy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you smile, you laugh, you know, and I say, wow, you know. So I'm just excited with that kind of heritage and how being in New York, how I met all the giants because they all came to New York City from different parts of the world.
Well, there's more music with Randy Weston in just a minute. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I decided I wanted to do like a musical portrait of you. You think I could try one?
Wow.
It may not sound like you, but it's my feeling about you.
Ah, wonderful.
So here goes.
Beautiful. Thank you. thank you so much for that beautiful portrait of myself. I feel really honored. Thank you very, very much.
Well, it was fun doing it, trying to incorporate. But there's so much there. I mean, it would take forever to really, pages and pages. But it's fun trying. In actual fact, it's been just great to have you here. I never thought I would manage it again.
I'm so happy.
Of course, I absolutely love your laugh. I could just make a tape of that and play it when I'm in a bad mood.
Oh, really? Hey, I think it'd be some royalties.
Oh, you want some royalties? Oh, in that case, I'm not so sure. No, but...
No, it's very kind for you to say that.
You sound like a perennially happy guy.
Well, you know, life is beautiful, and I've been blessed to hear such beautiful music in my life and meet such beautiful people who make the music, you know.
Really love that.
That's it. Thank you. That's it. I've been truly blessed.
Well, you certainly have been in so many ways, and I've been blessed to have this wonderful afternoon of chit-chat and music and hearing how you put your chords together, and that's quite an experience. And this is unfortunate that we have to wind up the show, and there has to only be one more tune. And
sure.
What have you got that is specially planned for this occasion?
Well, a piece I wrote called Ifran. Ifran is in Morocco, up in the mountains. And myself and my son and Ed Blackwell, the drummer, we drove from Tangier all the way to Sahara Desert.
You're kidding.
Yeah. And so we went up in the mountains and we saw this village called Ifran and people skiing. I never thought about, you know, skiing in Africa for some reason. And I was so moved by this experience that I wrote a song about that called Ifran.
Well, it's got to be interesting, that's for sure. So, I want to hear it.
Okay.
really loved that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. To be with you is always very spiritual and very moving.
And it's always fun doing something with you.
Thank you.
You've just heard Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Today's guest has been Randy Weston. Join us each week at this time when Piano Jazz brings you outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Tyler Hartman, mastering engineer David Mitchell, engineering assistant Dale Anderson, production assistant Grant Jackson. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Jazz Times Magazine, since 1970, delivering jazz news, insight, and opinion, at newsstands everywhere and on the web at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.